Okay. You know... for a split second, I'm back on quality control again. I've given that something like this before. And on this day, I can't help but think of two things. In 1969, I first started at Ford, and at the same time, I remember going to a New Year's Eve party, and it was like below zero for almost 2 weeks. Here it is, mid-40s today. But anyway, oh, I got to tell you, I can't help but it's humorous. I had a friend in Texas, and in talking to him one day, he says, you know, I've only made one mistake in my life. And we kind of said, oh, yeah? And he said, that was thinking that I made a mistake. Needless to say, we all got a humor out of that. Now, this might seem a little odd. I've mentioned it before. I don't know why, but as a kid, I liked Fords better than I did Chevy or Chrysler. And when I got old enough, it just tickled me to death to pick a old Ford and beat my buddies with a Chevy or a Chrysler. And so in 1969, I was able to get on to Ford. Ironically, for the same exact money to the penny that I was making running a crane, $3.52 an hour. And at Ford, every year they would have your vacations, and they had a program to where they would have temporary people filling in while somebody was on vacation. So I was introduced to quality control. In the last 5 years, ran a metal performance lab. Now this all ties in because it wasn't me that set the standards for quality. That is set by somebody else. And we do testing and watch the product to see that it meets that standard. Much like we have to do here in God's church. God sets the standards. We have to meet that standard. And as you get older and you look back on your life, it seems every family has their own standard. And we're all affected by it. And it seems we want to judge others by the way we were raised or our standards. And there's many, many different standards. Many different standards. We want to judge others by the standards we were raised by, not so much by God's standards. And when you think about it, people have different views of what to do. Like, for example, if you'll turn to Genesis 1, verse 26, there's people, I have a family member, part of it, that's been taught certain things in the Bible. And one of them is, you start at the beginning of the Bible, and you work your way through, and that's the progression. They don't seem to understand that God says, here a little and there a little. And in verse 26, here's an example of it. God said, let us, and you notice that us, that's more than one. Let us make man in our image, again, more than one. Now, we understand this, but there's a lot of people that doesn't. They seem to think that there's only one God, and somehow this doesn't apply. Us. And also, if you look a little further down, God says in 26, let's make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds, the air, over all of it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. Now, I know people, when they read that, they believe that before he created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, the creation was supposed to be a special creation, but it doesn't really say that. Got some competition. In chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, "The Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We are all from the ground, when you trace it all back. Now, in verse 126 and 27, where God created man and woman, there's a statement that God makes in his word that's very clear, but evidently not to everybody. If you look in chapter 3 and verse 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because, and get this, she was the mother of all living. There was nobody else before her, before they had children. But I have a family member that he doesn't necessarily agree with that. And it made me think, there's a lot of people that believe in God, but they don't necessarily believe God. Look at the example of the clean and unclean foods. And it amazed me, with my wife having the surgeries, and you go to the hospital and you have these dietitians and the menus, and a lot of the items on the menu are unclean food. And you would think that they would already know this, but they don't. I think my podium's turning here. Anyway. Do we sometimes think of ourselves more than what we should, more highly than we should? Job did. Has been mentioned in the past here. Job was righteous, he was prosperous, and he was zealous. But God had to speak to him and challenge him as far as how wise he really was compared to God. Sometimes I think we think too much of ourselves. Our goal is to meet God's standards. And in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God tells you a little bit about the standards. On Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." If you remember, God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, and we are, through lineage, his children. Out of the dust of the ground. Again, in today's world, a lot of people believe in God, but they don't necessarily believe God. That's a big difference. You know, in almost 50 years, not quite, that we've been in the church, we've seen a lot of friends, a lot of people that attended that no longer attend with us. Something gets in their mind, and their thoughts change, and it leads them away. And that's sad. I don't want to see that happen to anybody, but that's a reality. It does happen. Again, I had trouble with this word, trying to spell it, but even in the hospitals, the dietitians that's been trained can't seem to make a distinction between clean and unclean, between what God says is good to eat and what isn't. And you would think that of all people, they would know that. Now, if you look at Acts, chapter 17 and beginning in verse 1, there's an example here of people that did not believe what Paul and Silas was telling them. It's just an example of what goes on in the world here. Acts 17 and verse 1. Acts 17 states, "Now when they," this is Paul and Silas, "when they had passed through Amphipolis," I'm not sure how to pronounce that, "and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his custom was, went in to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus who I preach to you is Christ.' Now some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews, they had a problem. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, and took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set out on all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Evidently, Jason's house was also used as a church. But when they did not find him there," that's what makes me think it was a church, "they dragged Jason and some of the brothers to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.' Jason was harbored with them, and all of these all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, 'There is another king, Jesus.' And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the cities when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by the night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now get this. "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica." Another version of the Bible states that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, "and that they received the word with all readiness of mind." They were eager for it, "and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so, as we should be doing." Now we know, it states in the Bible, there are those who slip in wolves in sheep's clothing, trying to persuade, add confusion. And we do need to search the Scriptures to find out if what is preached is so. Now we're almost, according to the Roman calendar, we're almost 6,000 years since Adam and Eve. I think the seasons is changing. I think we're much closer to the end. Sorry about that. I think we're much closer to Christ's return than we may realize. This world's just getting upside down. I'd like to submit 2 points about some of this. Up until I was about 15 years old, I thought all Christian religions taught the same thing. I just didn't understand it all. Then I realized they taught different things. It wasn't always true. And I didn't know which one was right. I didn't know where to go. And that has happened to a lot of people. And the second thing is, every one of us come from different backgrounds. We all have different priorities in our life, different ways of looking at things, different ideas of food or how you treat one another. For example, my father was very firm about this, but as a child, you always addressed older people as Mr. and Mrs. And anybody in authority was to be addressed as Mr. or Mrs. And it's kind of comical because sometimes when I'm talking to my wife and I'll say, Mr. So-and-so, and she said, well, which one do you mean? And I don't know what their first name is because it's always been Mr. or Mrs. And I got to think what their, find out what their name is. But that's the way I was raised. And I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but that's the way I was raised. We also were raised that my dad had a great aunt that was with us for a while. And she was raised with the principle that you go out in the woods and you kill it and bring it in and we'll eat it. Didn't matter what it was. And you wonder, where do these people get this? Didn't they ever read the Bible? They're always, you'd think that they would have a knowledge about this, but they didn't. But there was some good points. For example, my grandfather, he loved horses, loved working with him. But he would not sit down to eat supper until the horses and the animals were put away and fed and taken care of. So they're the one who did all the work. I got to take care of them first. There's good principles, but not a lot of them. This is Christ's church. The Father put Christ in charge. We're to submit to the leadership as they strive to teach the truth from God's word. We, like the Bereans, should be searching the scriptures to find out how they're doing, what they say, and is it accurate? If there's questions, ask the questions and find out. Again, in Acts 17, verse 11, it states, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Now, in talking to others that gave sermonettes, I was amazed as we were talking to find that you have a topic in mind, focus, what you're looking, what you're trying to get across. And later on, after the sermonette, I've had people come up to me and say, boy, that's just what I needed. And they were talking about something I had no idea where it came from. But whatever was said triggered the thought that made them think about it. And that's God working with his people. It's not me. Not that I know of in any way. Take a look at what the Bible says about ministers. Look at Hebrews 5, verse 4. Actually, it goes through 14. In Hebrews 5, starting in verse 4, this is God's message. It says, no man takes this honor to himself, but he who was called by God, just as Aaron was, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. But it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. This was our father's choice for the priest. It wasn't Christ. So in the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, this is Christ, when he had suffered in supplication, with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. When you think about the price that Christ paid for all of us, here is Christ as a physical man crying out to the Father, "Is there another way?" He wanted to avoid this if he could. But it states in other places that this was planned before the foundation of the world. And it says, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And I know we got a lot of people that suffer, but I don't know of anybody that suffered like Christ did. This is the price he paid for all of us is almost beyond belief. And it's so important that we submit to that authority. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, again, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain. Since some have become dull of hearing, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have need of milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, I couldn't help but think, Christ is considered the potter and we're considered the clay. And that clay is of the earth. And you can just imagine a lump of clay that we're compared to. And all the impurities in that clay, things that we brought out of society. Can you imagine Christ working with you, smoothing out the rough spots, digging out the little gravel that's there or the sticks or whatever was in that earth when he picked you up, picked me up, to get us to the point of where we are clean and pure. And he's then able to take and make us into a mold, piece of pottery, perfect, to be there in the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but there was a lot of gravel in my life. You know, there's a lot of things to overcome. We are a mixture of good and evil. We came in the world that way, and we'll be that way till the day we day we die. But we were brought to Christ as carnal, physical human beings, subject to the pulls of flesh. Then, excuse me, our Heavenly Father selected us and drew us to Christ. And he made a commitment. When we made a commitment to our Father and to Christ, then hands were laid upon us. We were baptized and given a portion of the Holy Spirit. And now we're in the process of changing, being changed from physical to spirit. We don't know what changes need to be made in us to become what Christ wants us to be. They are in charge, not us. You might say, for us, this is our Father's quality control. And it's our job to meet his standard. I've talked to people, and they have their own views about what should or should not be. And I submit that it's a responsibility of the ministers under Christ to do as Christ directed, and it's our job to search the scriptures, make sure it's right, and submit to it, whether we happen to agree with it at that point or not. There's things in my life I don't know whether I want to agree with it or not, but it was right, and it was the thing to do. You know, I think of Job because I don't know exactly where I got it from, but I understand that Job was the engineer of the temple or the pyramids. He was a very intelligent man. Well, he was blessed, big family and a lot. He was one of the richest men in the East. But along came with that came a little self-confidence, a little self-righteousness. And his friends talked to him, and he couldn't understand it. He just didn't agree with them. And towards the end of the book of Job, God spoke to Job. And he asked Job, "Where were you when I hung the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that? Explain to me these things." And Job realized he couldn't. That was God. And I think we're a little bit like that. We need to really humble ourselves and submit ourselves and leave it into God's hands. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the rest of this beautiful day. Thank you.